Jeremiah 48. With the exception of the word of the Lord against Babylon, this is the most voluminous of all Jeremiah's denunciations against the nations. The reason is not far to seek. Moab was a near eastern neighbor to Israel and had greatly affected the national history. And Moab was closely related to Israel. His origin is described in Genesis 19. Moab and Ammon were the sons of Lot, the nephew of Abraham, by his own daughters, as is memorialized in the very names. Moab means from a father, and Ammon is from Ben-Ammi, son of my people. Into the ethics of the matter, we do not enter here. Brief reference has been made to this in the ministry of the prophets on Isaiah chapter 15, and also to the strange suggestion that this unpleasant fragment of history is the spiteful concoction of Israelitish malice of a later age. The fact remains that the connection of Israel with Moab was disastrous to them in many ways. From the days of Moses onwards, the country, as is well known, lay on the east of Jordan and the Dead Sea. Its chief cities were Ar, Kir, Dibon, Heshbon, and others mentioned both by Isaiah and Jeremiah, many of the sites of which have been discovered. Jeremiah is particularly full in his references to these. It is pointed out with reference to Nebo that it is not the mountain but the city, and that it was taken by Mesha, king of Moab, around BC 895, according to the records of the Moabite stone. Moab was the territory allotted to Reuben, who, being unstable as water, did not excel, as Jacob had foretold. Reuben was among the first of the 10 tribes to be carried away captive to Assyria by Tilgath-Pilneser. Some 500 years after the overthrow of Sodom, Israel came up out of Egypt under Moses and, passing through the wilderness, came into contact with Moab. By that time, the people of Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, for whom even Solomon afterwards built a high place before Jerusalem. This expression, people of Chemosh, is found in Numbers 21 in the proverb, quoted in the history of Israel's defeat of Sihon, and is repeated by Jeremiah in his 48th chapter. The book of Numbers goes on to tell of the fear of Balak, king of Moab, at the approach of Israel, and of his sending to Balaam to come and curse Israel. When Balaam came to Balak, he took him up into the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the uttermost part of the people. And it was this idolatry that was the undoing of Moab and of Israel. Balaam could not curse Israel, but by the Spirit of God foretold the uprising of the kingdom of God in Israel under the star of Jacob. And it is remarkable that in this connection he speaks in awful apprehension of the day of judgment that the king of Israel will usher in. Alas, who shall live when God doeth this? His own proximate fate was indeed an earnest of this, for when Israel had committed whoredom with the daughters of Moab by the counsel of Balaam, and had been smitten with the plague by God on that account, God commanded Moses to avenge Israel of the Midianites. Israel was victorious in the war, and also Balaam the son of Beor they slew with the sword. Thus this false prophet, who loved the wages of unrighteousness and was in wicked alliance with Moab, became a type of the rejected, of the cursed, who shall depart into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. On the mountains of Moab, Moses died according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. In the days of the judges, Moab prevailed over Israel because of their apostasy, and for 18 years they were in subjection to Eglon, king of Moab. But when they cried to God in their trouble, he delivered them by Ehud the Benjamite, and the land then had rest 80 years. Then there was more apostasy, and God told Israel to go and cry unto the gods that they had chosen. But these were of no avail, and God raised up Jephthah the Gileadite to demonstrate this to Israel. Moab complained that Israel had taken away his land in the days of the Exodus. Jephthah answered that it was not so. Israel had simply desired a peaceful passage through the country to the promised land. But, this being denied, war had ensued, and God had given the country into Israel's hand. So now, said Jephthah, the Lord God of Israel hath dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel. And shouldst thou possess it? Wilt not thou possess that which Chemosh thy God giveth thee to possess? So whomsoever the Lord our God shall drive out from before us, them will we possess. And we know the issue. And Jephthah's rash vow, resulting in the loss of his only daughter. But, as the woman herself said, before she died, at any rate, the issue as between Chemosh and the Lord God of Israel was settled. My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. Forasmuch as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon. Jeremiah's denunciation of Moab proceeds on quite similar lines. Give wings unto Moab that it may flee and get away, for the cities thereof shall be desolate, without any to dwell therein. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Moab hath been at ease from his youth, and he hath settled on his lees, and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel, neither hath he gone into captivity. Therefore his taste remained in him, and his scent is not changed. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send unto him wanderers that shall cause him to wander, and shall empty his vessels and break their bottles. And Moab shall be ashamed of Chemosh, as the house of Israel was ashamed of Bethel, their confidence. The discovery of the Moabite stone at Dibon in 1868 has shed great light upon the prophecy. It is an inscription of Mesha, king of Moab, the sheep master, mentioned in the second book of Kings. It is now in the Louvre, Paris, a facsimile being preserved in the British Museum. The inscription is in the old Phoenician character of about 900 BC and has been transcribed into the latter square Hebrew and translated, and it begins thus. I am Mesha, the son of Chemosh Melech, the king of Moab, the man of Dibon. And it is dedicated to the god Chemosh and goes on to ascribe to him the victories that Mesha had gained over Israel, and further to boast that Israel is laid waste forever. But in this Mesha was mistaken. In the language of Jeremiah, Moab had been at ease from his youth and therefore feared not the Lord God of Israel, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. Psalm 55. But Mesha and the people of Chemosh were to share Israel's experience of captivity, and Moab was to be ashamed of Chemosh, as Israel was of Bethel. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, had set up the calf worship at Bethel with the deliberate aim of preventing the house of Israel returning to the kingdom of David. and what had resulted was the captivity of the whole house of David. Even so, said Jeremiah, the worship of Chemosh would only result in the destruction of Moab from being a people, because he hath magnified himself against the Lord. History has attested the truth of Jeremiah's prophecy, and the present preliminary restoration of Israel is a monument to the ignorance and folly of Misha's prognostication that Israel is laid waste forever. Further reasons for the judgment of Moab appear in Jeremiah's prophecy in this place. Make ye him drunken, for he hath magnified himself against the Lord. Moab also shall wallow in his vomit, and he also shall be in derision. For was not Israel a derision unto thee? Was he found among thieves? For since thou spakest of him, thou skippest for joy. We have heard the pride of Moab. He is exceeding proud, his loftiness and his arrogance, and his pride and the haughtiness of his heart. I know his wrath, saith the Lord, but it shall not be so. And so it came to pass that God caused to cease him that offered in the high places, and him that burned incense to his gods. Well, all the time the purpose of God was going forward according to the prophecy of Balaam upon those same high places in the early days of Israel's history. Yet will I bring again the captivity of Moab in the latter days, saith the Lord. The other prophets, as Isaiah and Daniel, throw light upon the divine purpose in this direction. When David came up to Adullam from the land of the Philistines, he went thence to Mizpah of Moab and said unto the king of Moab, Let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. What God did for David was this. He caused Saul to fall in battle upon the mountains of Gilboa, and established David on the throne in Jerusalem, which thereafter was known as the throne of David. Similarly, the Lord Jesus comes up into his inheritance from the south, and an enemy is then in possession of Jerusalem. But all rival kings are conquered in the land, and he is enthroned in the city of the great king. And concerning such a crisis, the Spirit of God in Isaiah says, Let mine outcasts dwell with thee, Moab. Be thou a covert to them from the face of the spoiler. For the extortioner is at an end, the spoiler ceaseth, the oppressors are consumed out of the land, and in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness. It's Isaiah 16. And Daniel tells how at such a time the land of Moab escapes out of the hand of the king of the north in his chapter 11. So, in the end, the country will be resettled and subdued to the throne of David. And Ruth the Moabitess, the ancestress of the king, with all the worthy, will be brought again from the captivity of Hades and caused to inherit the kingdom of God. There will be no more rebellion of Moab against Israel, but the sheep of his pastures will come up acceptably on the altar of God in Mount Zion. Isaiah 60, verse 7.